You know, we're saved to serve. Amen? We are saved to serve. I've got a hoodie and I've got a t-shirt that says that. Verna made them for me and I really appreciate that. And I wear those because I really believe that we're saved to serve. Last week, we talked about being a church on fire, and a church on fire has been with Jesus. If you're on fire for God, that means you've been with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody that's ever been with Jesus, just like Moses when he went up on the mountain, he was with God. When he came down, you could tell that he had been with God. Everybody knew that he had been in the presence of God Almighty. And anytime you're in the presence of Jesus, people know it. They can see it on you. Amen?
Amen.
And so to be a church on fire, we have to be with Jesus. We have to spend time with him. And so today we're going to talk about being to serve. And if you're going to be a church on fire, and if you are a church on fire, meaning you are the church, amen? Because Christ comes to live with you. You're the temple of Jehovah God Almighty. You know that. So if Jesus lives within your heart, then if you're going to be that church on fire, you will serve. Amen? Jesus said this in Matthew 20:28. Your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. Amen? So if we're going to be like Jesus and we're going to be a church on fire, then we come not to be served, but to serve others and to give our life for the church. Amen? That's what we do. We are not to be served, but to serve. We are to serve God with, and we are to serve others. But in serving, there are a lot of misconceptions among Christians. There are a lot of misconceptions among denominations and other churches. But many think that Christian service is only for those who have a lot of spare time in their schedule, I think. Or, you know, probably some people say, you know, well, when I retire, when I get time, I'll serve God more. I'll give more of my time to God. But, you know, if we're not able to serve God now, what's going to be different then, later? What's going to make the difference then? You know, another misconception that Christian service is only for the spiritually mature, or for pastors, or for leaders, or for missionaries. You know, we had a great missionary service Wednesday night. Great. Got to hear the general superintendent from the region over there. Man, he's got a busy job, doesn't he? And so it was good to hear him speak about what's going on over there. You know, if you're young in your faith, you may have this thought that you can't serve. But you know what? We're all young at a certain place in our faith, and we don't have it all figured out either. So don't think just because you ain't got it all figured out that you can't serve Christ, because you can. Why? How? You can just tell people about Jesus and what he did for you. You got saved, right? He saved you from what? You can tell them that, right? You can tell them. Tell them how God is working in your life. Because let me tell you, when you've been with Jesus and you're willing, you will. He'll be working in your life, and he'll be showing you and trying to teach you what to do and how to do it. What to get rid of and what to keep. Be a good witness. Be a good witness. You know, this is part of our service. This is part of our service. And if you're growing in Christ, you should serve more. Okay? If you're going to grow in Christ, you've got to serve more. You know, maturity comes with ministry. The more you do, the more mature you get. You know, it's good to learn more. And it's good to learn and to figure out these spiritual truths. And we come together and we meet together here on Sundays and Wednesdays and we learn, right? And that's what we should. I hope, that, you know, that's my hope, that when you leave here, you've learned something when you left. Hey, man, you can take something with you that will help you. Because if you're not, then it's either my fault. And I'm not preaching right, or your ears are plugged up and you're not listening. Sometimes my ears are plugged up and I don't listen. Leanne reminds me of that all the time. Yeah. She's not here, so I can say things. Oh, wait, she's on Zoom. I'm in trouble now. Well, I don't know what I'll be having for lunch now, but... And it's good to learn more, right? So I just learned more this morning. Keep my mouth shut. You know, we have to act on what we have learned and what we've learned and what we claim to believe. We have to act upon that. There's an action, you know, to our faith. Wow. There is. You know, impression without expression causes depression. You get that? Expression without expression causes depression. Or impression, I mean. Study without Christian service will always lead to spiritual stagnation. You know, there's an old comparison that I've seen before between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if Verna's got a picture up here. She's going to have. Right here. You got the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. You know, the Sea of Galilee is beautiful. It's a beautiful lake. It's 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, filled with fish and surrounded by lush vegetation. It's Israel's largest freshwater reservoir. It's also the country's largest and most important source of drinking water. It was the place where Jesus called four fishermen to come into ministry, to be his disciples, and to follow him. But you look at the Dead Sea, it's 50 miles long and 11 miles wide, but the shoreline is 1,500 feet below sea level. 7 million tons of water evaporate from the Dead Sea every day. The salt content of the Dead Sea ranges from 25 to 35%, making it 10 times saltier than the oceans of the world. There is no seaweeds or plants of any kind in the water. There are no fish swimming around, no really living creatures swimming around. As a matter of fact, all you can see is white crystal salt buildup along the shoreline where it's evaporating. You know, fish can accidentally swim into the water, but they'll just die. And they end up on the shorelines, and they show where you can see them, dead fish, where they've accidentally swam. It's the Earth's lowest elevation on land. It's 423 meters below sea level. You know, the salt is so salty, you can float. It'd be hard to drown in the water. You just float because the salt's so heavy. But the similarity between the two, let me tell you, both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are fed by the Jordan River. Both fed by the same river. Why is that the Sea of Galilee is beautiful and alive while the Dead Sea is barren and lifeless? The answer is this. The Sea of Galilee has an outlet, and the Dead Sea has no outlet. Water flows through the Sea of Galilee, and water flows into the Dead Sea, but not out. And in the same manner, if you don't serve the Lord, you'll have no outlet. And you will become like the Dead Sea. If you don't serve the Lord, your life will become stagnant. There's no flowing or running water in your life. What comes in has to come out. If Jesus is working in your life, He comes out, He shows, He's seen by people around you. You know, if your Christian life becomes dormant and stationary, lifeless and idle, do you want that? Is that what really you want in your life? But if you serve the Lord, your life will be like that of the Sea of Galilee, fresh and green and always flowing and full of life. Always blooming and always budding and always flourishing. You know, life's like that when you're in God's service. Let me tell you. And you may think, well, no matter what evil is going on around you, you'll still have a smile on your face.
Yeah.
You know, life is beautiful when you're in the center of God's will. You know, I talked with Emily yesterday, and she went through this surgery, a pretty major surgery she went through. And she had this happiness in her voice. And I know if she was sitting right here this morning, she'd smile. Because she has Jesus in her heart. She has God in her life, and she shared with me, she said, if it wasn't for God, I don't know what I would do. She said, I've not been worried one time about what was going on, because she knew that her church family was praying for her.
Amen.
And she says, I haven't worried a bit about anything. And I know it hurts. But see, that's what it means to have God in your life. To have Jesus flowing through you. When you serve Him with your heart. Christian service should be the heart of our Christian faith. Serving God should always be the main priority in every one of us. It should always be our first concern and our primary goal as a church is to serve not only God, number one, but to serve each other and this community in anything and everything that we can possibly do. Serving people should be the outflow of our godly living. It should be the result of our spiritual growth. And we should find time to serve God. You know, Mother Teresa once said, holy living consists in doing God's work with a smile. I thought of Emily. You're all growing in the Lord and understanding in Scriptures, and we need to. Me too. As I study, I'm growing. I'm learning every day as I draw closer to Him. And we have to keep that up. We have to keep doing that. But we need to put these truths into practice. Just like James said, be doers, not just hearers. You've got to be doers of the Word as well. What we need are serving experiences where we can exercise our spiritual muscles and our spiritual gifts. God will put divine appointments in your life and in your path. I've shared some of my divine appointments at times. God has put people in my path at times where I knew it was only God that did it. And I was able to share Christ with these people. Or I was able just to do something. What we need are people who go out of their way to serve others. That's what and I put myself in that. We have to be a church like that. You know, but most people are not interested in serving others, they're more interested in serving themselves. You know, a lot of people think that, I've heard it, they're looking for a church that meets their needs, that blesses them. Expecting others to serve them and not vice versa. You know, I see these things in people at times. I've been there. Times in my life when I more expected somebody to do something for me than I would do for them. And God changed my life with that perspective. He said, you know, I saved you so you could serve, not so that others could serve you. And that's why I love to wear my shirt. I'm saved to serve because it's a reminder of who I'm supposed to be and who Jesus was. And I'm supposed to be like Jesus to my best ability. I'm not perfect by any means, nor will I be, just like Paul said, not that I've attained it yet. Paul said, I've not attained it yet. But one day, when I get to heaven, really it won't even matter then, because that's where I'll need to be with my Savior Jesus. It's time that we focus our lives on living a life of service. As mature followers of Jesus, we need to just look around and look at the needs of others, because I'm telling you, people need. There's a lot of people in need in this community. There's a lot of people in need in this church. The mature follower of Jesus, we need to, as a mature follower of Jesus, we need to start asking this every day: whose needs can I meet today? Whose hearts are downhearted? Can I encourage them? Can we be people that will fill that need for others? Can we be that today? You know, we have three principles that I was looking at: a goal of service, a power to service, and a result of serving God. And I'll try not to preach too long this morning, but the goal of service is glorifying God. Amen?
Amen.
The goal of our serving is to glorify God and Him alone. And I know the Sunday school class has been going over Genesis, so I'm going to join right in there. In Genesis 35:1, it says this: "Then God said to Jacob, 'Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.'" You know, the verse tells us that God wanted him to go back to Bethel so that he could settle there. And once he was there, the Lord commanded him to build an altar to the Lord. And actually, three times these words, "build an altar to God," is used in that chapter. Genesis 35:1, 3 through 7, it says, "Then come, let us go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. You know, the first mention of build an altar is the command of the Lord, to Jacob. You know, this is really a call to action, a call for something that has to be done, a call for an activity, a plan, and a process, really. God is also calling us as a church to action. The call to service, therefore, is a call to action. Something has to be done with our lives. Amen?
Amen.
We must serve others. You know, the second mention of this build an altar is the response of Jacob. And it is as if he was saying, "Yes, Lord, I will do that. I will make it a goal in my life. I will make it my primary purpose in life." And God's command becomes his goal in life. That's what obedience is all about. Amen?
Amen.
That's why serving others should be our goal in life. The third time it was mentioned was when Jacob had already accomplished building the altar. The goal has been fulfilled, done, accomplished, and the Lord commanded, he obeyed, and it was done, and he gave glory to God. You see, every service we perform on this earth should have a goal. It's not a gain of popularity. It's not to get people's attention. It's not to gather and following of friends. It's not to receive fame or prominence. It's not to boost our own ego and reputation. It's none of those things. Serving God and to other people should be done for one purpose, and that's to glorify God Almighty. Everything that we do in this church should be to honor and glorify God, number one. It's not about anything else. We must exalt Him through our services. We must praise Him through our ministry. We must magnify Him through our good works, and we must celebrate His goodness through service. Amen?
Amen.
That is what it means to build an altar for God. You know, the goal of service is to glorify God. The goal of the Christian service is to praise God. Like we do when we sing, we should praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them, with everyone, and with everyone else." Your praise encourages other people to serve God greater and to praise God more. Amen? I notice when somebody stands up and starts praising God, guess what? Other people stand up and start praising God too. Amen? So what we do encourages others. The goal of a Christian service is spiritual maturity as well. Ephesians 4:11, 13 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for what? Works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." You know, the goal of our Christian service is to be an approved worker. Amen? Amen. You want to be an approved worker? 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." Secondly, the power of service is commitment. You know, Jacob got rid of the foreign gods, it says on there in the chapter 35. It says, "So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes.'" You know, if you want to serve God, you need the power of God to keep you going for a long time, don't you? You know, we all need that. You need the strength and the might of the power of the Holy Spirit to serve God in spite of the difficulties ahead. Let me tell you, we're living in some difficult times. Look at what's happening all around us. And look what's happening to the churches here in America. You know, the statistics say in 1937, 70% of people, the population of American citizens, went to church on a regular basis. In 2020, 47% of the population of America now attend church on a regular basis. So we went from 70% to 47%. You can see this chart up here. That was, you know, today's population is 329.5 million people. And 47% of that means that 154,865 people attend church every Sunday. That's a pretty good number, isn't it? Considering that in 1936 there was only 128 million people that were citizens. But that also means that only 89,637 of them was going to church. So we have more people going to church now than we did in 1936, but we have a whole lot more not going to church. Amen. And a whole lot more that need Jesus in their life. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
The fields are ready for harvest, and he just needs a few workers. Amen? A few people who are willing to serve God and get out and serve the community and share Jesus Christ, the one that died for them, the one that saved you and me. Share that with everybody. It concerns me, and that's not even counting what's going on right now in 2021, and that scares me to see those numbers of the ones who attended churches last year during the pandemic.
Yeah, I know it.
I bet those numbers are going to be a lot lower than that. We're in decline. The only ones that can change that are us. Amen.
Amen.
We're the only ones that can change that. What's went wrong? You see, there's a lot of Christians who started serving the Lord well, and somehow along the way they just gave up. Maybe it was no power in their service. Maybe there was no real commitment. Maybe there Were other things on their minds? Maybe there were a lot of distractions, which there are. Maybe they were interrupted by something. Maybe they were disturbed from their Christian faith. Maybe their attention was drawn away. Sound familiar? Maybe they were not able to give their best to God, and maybe they were not able to give their full potential to God. Maybe they're not able to give their full faculty to the service, but and maybe they that is why that God told Jacob at that time, get rid of all the foreign gods in your life. This world is a distraction. It will draw you away from serving. God was saying that there are many things that are that will distract you from your service to God. And He's saying, get rid of these things. Take them off. Clear them away. Eliminate them. Delete them. God wants us to grow in our commitment to God. And you know, the definition there of commitment is the state of or quality of being fully dedicated to a cause or activity. Are you fully dedicated to a cause or this activity that we call church? Amen? Or your Christian life? Is your obligation or assurance that you will fulfill your goal? I mean, you think about this. When you have committed or have a commitment, are you fully devoted to serve God? Are you zealous for Christ? Will you make yourself available? Let me ask you, do you know what that every time you serve God, you're creating a legacy of service to the future generations? You know, people have left a legacy in this church for many years. And what legacy are you leaving for the next generation to come? Are you being a good example of the worker that you think God would want you to be, to show and to teach those who are going to take your place in the future that that's what they need to do as well? There are Christians who serve the Lord with criticism and grievance. I've heard that so many times. Church, that should not be the case among us while we're serving God. That's not the kind of legacy I want to leave. So what does it mean to serve God? What does it mean to you? 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you." Amen. Serve God with all your heart. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." Serve God with a willing mind. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge God of your father and serve Him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek Him, He will be found. He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever." Serve the Lord with spiritual fervor. Romans 12:11. "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Amen. You know, the result of our service is personal holiness, because Jacob purified himself. And I'm trying to hurry up through this. I don't want to keep you too long. The third thing that we read is we can learn from this chapter here in Genesis is in Christian services, we need to purify ourselves. Genesis 35:2. "So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes.'" You know, when you serve God, you get rid of all the foreign gods and you grow in your commitment. And when you serve God, you become like Him and you live in spiritual holiness. God told Jacob, purify yourselves and change your clothes. The word purify means to make pure, to be free from anything that contaminates. See, that's what we have to do. We have to get rid of stuff in our life at times and purify ourselves. It's an ongoing thing, I think. You know, we're like, sometimes I think people are like, walk around with static electricity and everything is attracted to them. We got to clear all that stuff off of us. It's hard to serve God in our minds when our minds are polluted with sin. It's challenging to serve God if our thoughts are corrupted by iniquities. It's painful to serve God if our hands are tarnished with immorality. Serving God requires purifying ourselves and changing our clothes at times. Amen. As we grow in our service, we should mature in our holiness. As we advance in our ministry, we should cultivate our humanity. As we build God's altar, we should thrive in our spiritual purity. As we expand our territory, we should develop our faith. Come on now. As we multiply our gifts, we should flourish in our Christian character. As we become more involved with other people, we should become more like Christ. This result of this Christian service is personal holiness. We believe in that in this church. We're a holiness church. You know, it's never our intention to get burned out, but let me tell you, sometimes we get burned out. It's never that aim. It's never that goal. It's never the desire to fully exhaust ourselves. It's never the objective, but our ministry should be joyful. Amen? Our ministry should be joyful and enjoyable and upbeat and productive and beneficial and fruitful, both to you and to others around you. That's why when you look at the results of your ministry, you'll find out whether it is from God or from men. We have to look at those things in our life at times. And I'll close with this. We are called for holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. You know, we are vessels useful to the Master. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purpose, made holy, useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work. We must establish our hearts for holiness. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, may He strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. And I'll say this morning, may you grow in your service to God. It's not over until it's over. Amen. Let me tell you, I don't know, it doesn't matter how old you are or where you are in your Christian life. It doesn't matter how you're physically. It's not over until it's over. Encourage somebody. Call somebody. Tell them about Jesus and how much Jesus loves them. Amen. Let's serve others today. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I just praise your holy name. Lord, I pray special prayers for Emily, Lord, that you continue to heal her, Lord, and give the doctors guidance. And so, Lord, I don't want to forget Lily, Lord, she needs a special touch this morning as well. Lord, we just pray for her. We love her and we miss her when she's not here. Lord, I pray for Herman. Lord, that you touch him, and Lord, and as he goes through this procedure coming up, Lord, that you guide the doctor's hands, and Lord, maybe when they get there that you've already done your mighty work. Lord, I believe that you can heal, Lord, and so I just ask you to touch him right now. Lord, just let your Holy Spirit fall upon him. Lord, we praise you. Keep us safe as we leave here and bring us back again, Lord, as we serve you throughout this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.